As I record this sermon on Tuesday, I'm enjoying immensely the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ lectureships, and I hope that you've been able to attend some of these wonderful lectures from God's Word, and it builds us up, and we're thankful for this opportunity. So I thought I would dig out an old sermon from years back. One of the lectureships was entitled, What the Prophet Saw, and my assignment was The Kingdom to Come, a study of Daniel 2, 44 and 45. So we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together, of course, in our Bible classes. We're studying God's precious Word. Then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern which God has given us. Thus, that's following John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. As a visitor, we look forward to having you join in with us. Something else to mention, if you would like to study the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities. And we'll set that up at your convenience. Let me mention that we do have Bible correspondence courses available. And if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, they're also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study, The Kingdom to Come. And as we study Daniel's prophecy concerning the kingdom of God, which is the Church of Christ, it can build up our faith and tear down the false view of premillennialism as well. You know, Daniel's prophecy points to Acts chapter 2, and as well as Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, Joel 2, 28 through 32, Micah 4, 1 through 4. Now, as we begin our study from the book of Daniel, let's answer this question. What were the circumstances at the time of Daniel's prophecy of the kingdom of God, which is the church? As we study Daniel's prophecy of the kingdom of the church, kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ, I should say, you know, it would be an injustice if we did not discuss the character of this great prophet of God. Daniel was taken into Babylonian captivity as a teenager around 605 B.C. and spent the rest of his life in Babylon. Yes, he was a prisoner. Yes. Now, young people, and hopefully we have young people listening, here is a great example of a good role model who, starting in his youth and continuing throughout his adult life, he had quiet courage, stood by his convictions because they were godly convictions. Well, he's a good example for all of us, isn't he? And Daniel was a man of integrity, as his enemies could find no fault and with Daniel except for his devotion to keeping God's law, as you go to Daniel chapter 6. And after King Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel a ruler over all the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men, Daniel did not forget his friends. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes, they were set over the affairs of the province of Babylon as Daniel But Daniel sat in the gate of the king, Daniel 2, 48 and 49. Now, let's mention the characteristics of Daniel from chapter 1, as he was certainly a man who trusted God. You see in verse 8 of Daniel 1, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Here we find Daniel was a man of purpose. Yes, and we find that he was a man of purity. He would not defile himself. Verse 8. Yes, and Daniel was a man blessed by God's providence. Verse 9. Well, also verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And that's certainly going to come into play as we study from Daniel chapter 2. But also, notice verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed you meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, and Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, and notice, and water to drink. Well, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the counts of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented, verse 14, to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse, or cooked vegetables, a better term to use. Sounds much better, doesn't it? So that's showing here Daniel was a man of principle. Yes, and he was a man of prayer, as we mentioned Daniel chapter 6. He was a man of performance. Certainly, you can see that in verses 20 through 30 as well, here in Daniel chapter 1. So, and of course, Daniel chapter 2, as we get into that as well. Now, this time period was during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to go to chapter 2 now, and we'll see here that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And we're going to find Daniel's prophecy concerning the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ, here in Daniel chapter 2. So, and I know this should be mentioned, we can safely conclude that the king's dream was given him by God, because it contained prophecy which could only come from God. Yes, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, he could not even reveal himself. And only Daniel had the God-given ability of making known and interpreting the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, of course, he called all his magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. They all failed as deceivers, because they were without knowledge of what was in the dream. They were going to make something up if he told them, you know, what his dream was, but he couldn't do that. So the king's dream was of a great image, made up of four different metals, but then a stone which was cut without man's hands crushed the great image into pieces. These metal pieces, yes, all together, were as chaff blown away with the wind, here in Daniel 2, 28 through 35. And so keep in mind that the stone which smote the great image, notice verse 35 here in Daniel 2, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the shaft of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Well, that wasn't that what happened when the gospel went forth? As they were to preach the gospel to every creature, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Wasn't that what happened when the church began and began to spread after it started in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost in the first century? So we need to keep that in mind. Now as we go to verse 36 here in Daniel 2, we'll see Daniel gave the inspired interpretation. Now, notice, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Daniel said we. In other words, God is giving Daniel the ability, and he did not forget that, and we shouldn't either. Now, 37, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee a ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Did we note that? And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. That's right. So this present Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar as king was represented by the head of gold. But then Daniel foresaw three future earthly empires, the Medes and the Persians combined together, the Medo-Persian Empire, around 538 B.C. It was inferior to the first kingdom, but was represented by the breast and arms of silver. The Grecian Empire, around 331 B.C., was represented by the belly and thighs of brass, and their king, Alexander the Great, rose up swiftly and swept eastward from Greece. Yes, Boris said in chapter 7, 8, and 10. And then the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, 63 B.C., was represented by the legs and feet of iron mixed with clay, iron representing partly strong and showing the power of the empire, and clay representing partly broken, showing the weakness of the empire. Of course, the immorality and other factors were involved there. But I want to mention Pompey, who was over Rome at one time, but he never was an emperor. General, was he not? but took away Jewish national independence. So all four of these great kingdoms or empires could be described with the following characteristics: pride, greed, and a desire for power. And fourth, having rejected the Word of God, all four of these empires held to man's philosophies. The governments of men are always subject to God's will, let's never forget. But now let's ask another question. When was Daniel's prophecy found here in Daniel 2, 44 and 45? When was that prophecy fulfilled? There are a number of prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the true church, the Church of Christ, which would be established hundreds of years later during the first century. Let us study one of them found in the book of Daniel. So again, we go to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the King of Heaven... Notice, in the days of these kings shall the God of Heaven... Let me back up there, and that's the emphasis. In the days of these Caesars shall the God of Heaven, notice, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Now note, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Verse 45. So let's consider each phrase of Daniel's prophecy concerning the kingdom of God, which is the Church of Christ. In the days of these kings... Well, through Daniel, God had made known to the king the interpretation of his dream, which had revealed four great empires, as we talked about, 36 through 45. And you know, history reveals that the Grecian Empire, the third kingdom, was followed by the Roman Empire. Therefore, we can safely conclude that in the days of these kings must be referring to the Roman kings, who were also called Caesars. We know that Jesus came into the flesh during the time when Caesar Augustus was ruling, Luke 2, verse 1. And we know that Tiberius was the ruling Caesar when Jesus was crucified and purchased his church with his own precious blood, Luke 3, 1, Acts 20, 28. Now let's go to the second phrase. Shall the God of Heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, as he was speaking to Peter after he had made the good confession that Jesus was the Christ. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what Peter had just stated, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, in the American Standard, shall not prevail against it. In hell, the gates of hell in the King James, but it means the Hadean realm. Death is not going to stop Jesus from building his church. And so the God of Heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. You see, the doors of death did not prevent Christ from being resurrected from the tomb on the third day as he set up his kingdom, the Church of Christ, Acts 2, 24 through 36. And notice Romans 1, 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So he came forth from the Hadean realm, paradise, as he told the thief that had repented on the cross next to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's in the Hadean realm, isn't it? So we understand that God is setting up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. But let's go on. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Now these four great empires left their rule to others. And notice that Jesus would not accept an earthly political kingdom. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, an earthly king that is, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. John 6:15. Before Pilate, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Note that. It's not an earthly kingdom that he set up. It's a spiritual kingdom. John 18:36. So the church is not left in the hands of man to control, but God gave the New Testament pattern for us to follow. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name, the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. As we talked about the name of the Lord last Lord's Day, did we not? Notice the next phrase, "But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." These four great empires built one on the other, diverse, yet parts of a whole, and that dream all collapsed with the Roman Empire being the greatest kingdom to fall. After what? Persecuting the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ, which could not be destroyed. "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with out hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass, the silver and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." Daniel 2:34-35. Well, notice what was written by the inspired Apostle John during a time of severe persecution brought upon the church by a Roman Caesar. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. God had promised David earlier that his seed would sit upon the throne of his kingdom, a kingdom that would stand forever. That would be Christ. 2 Samuel 7:12-16. You know what's said in 1 Timothy 6:15? We all should know this. Jesus the Christ is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let us go on. The next phrase, "The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands." The Church of Christ was not built by man. It was not set up by man, but by God, as Christ said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Singular. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. Christ then said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Verse 19 of Matthew 16. Therefore, the Church of Christ and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are one and the same. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Colossians 1:13-18. Now, partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week as an act of worship is found where? In the Church of Christ. Acts 2:42, Acts 20:7. Jesus said to his apostles, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Luke 22:29-30. The Lord's table is in the Lord's church, which is referred to as my kingdom by Christ himself. Now, since the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ, was built by God during the days of the Roman Caesars or kings, we can conclude that Daniel's prophecy concerning the kingdom, which would be set up by God during the time of the fourth earthly kingdom, was completely fulfilled. And that, you know, should build up our faith, should it not? Are we not being edified as we study Daniel's prophecy concerning the one true church of the Bible? Now, there's much more to be said in our study of the kingdom to come. Yes, as we want to continue this, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. So let's put a peg here. And let me mention this, that we stand ready here at the Morgan Street Church of Christ to study with anyone further about anything that we've preached here on the radio here at WCBK. We want to sit down together and open up the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And we better be sure that we're following what God said if we're going to be prepared for eternity. Do we want to stand before God unprepared? Of course not. So why don't we say to ourselves, what should I be doing in getting ready to meet the Lord? Yes, I'm going to stand before the Lord if I'm accountable. And what will I have to say if I'm unprepared? There'll be no excuses. The Bible is where we can understand what we must do in order to be a Christian, a child of God. We have to hear the truth. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We need to know what God says. We're going to recognize Jesus as the Christ. As we study God's Word, that motivates us as we believe that He is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. We must believe that. John 8:24. Now we're motivated. We're going to repent. I'm not going to do what I want to do the rest of my life. I'm going to do what God would have me to do. Changing my will. Getting out of a sinful life. Following the example of Christ. I'm becoming one of His followers. So I'm going to accept His teaching. We must repent, Luke 13:3-5. Now, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, that's unto salvation. Here's the next step, which puts us into contact with the blood of Christ, being immersed, baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And the Lord then will add us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.